Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcast. In podcast 729, we're on the deck, and I was going to go into the studio to do a podcast, and then I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do a podcast from the deck. This is basically, instead of a walk and talk, this is a sit and talk, because it is Tiki Torch weather. We're going to talk about free speech. Had an experience today, one of the first experiences I've had where clearly something I have was censored in some form on social media, and I want to talk about that in podcast 729, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, you can just hear how fantastic it is out here, because it's late, and it's beautiful. It's summer, and I have the tiki torches lit, so you can hear the soft burn of the tiki torch, and you can hear traffic down on the highway. And all summer long, I love coming out here and putting on the tiki torches and just hanging out here all night. One of the reasons I'm doing that is because the guy behind me is putting, I don't know what he's doing over there. All day long, it's saws and banging and everything else. So I come out here at night and do my podcasts and hang out and have the flames of the tiki torches running. And it makes me think of Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Why? Well, first of all, a lot of people are putting additions on their houses. They're getting work done on their houses. They're moving things around inside to accommodate for maybe another kid that they had. If you're doing that and you want to put a new bathroom in, or you're changing things in the kitchen, you need Ryan Plumbing and Heating for that. Secondly, you know, when we talk about plumbing issues, we usually are talking about winter, because pipes burst in the winter, furnaces fail in the winter. That certainly happened to me this year. My furnace failed, and of course we got it fixed, and it's all good. It runs great now. Obviously, I don't need it. 2 years ago, the water heater failed. And, you know, when winter passes, we're now into spring, and I've already told you about getting the AC checked, because there's no point in doing that now, because everybody's already had their AC on. But you know what happened? My water heater now has failed. So it's a new water heater. It's obviously the pilot lighting system, which is electronic. So I don't know what the issue is. But it just goes to show you that these systems really have been taxed in a very cold winter here in Minnesota. And if they go down, you want reliable service. And that means Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, metro-wide from St. Paul. So if you live in Eagan, or if you live in Burnsville, if you live in Plymouth, if you live in Rogers, if you live in Anoka, if you live in South St. Paul, Ryan is all over the metro. 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go back four generations in Frogtown in St. Paul. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. Yeah, they can come over and still do the heating check, or I'm sorry, the AC check. And if you've got sort of holdover problems, have them check that stuff. And if you're putting an addition on, maybe you want to talk to them about in-floor heating, or maybe you want to talk to them about moving a bathroom. Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. We hear a lot of talk about the Bill of Rights, and you hear a lot of talk about the Constitution in this country. And, you know, with all of that talk about the Constitution, there's a lot of also activities by companies, governments, entities, institutions, which seem to simply ignore the Constitution. And it seems to me that the having the power is its own form of Constitution. And My secondary feeling is that the people that would be the arbiters of rights, and the people that would be supposed to be having that argument and being able to make that argument, which in this case would be when it comes to free speech, when it comes to Second Amendment, when it comes to Fourth Amendment, when it comes to things like that. It is generally the right when it comes to, racial or religious issues. Then it tends to be a little bit on the left of the political spectrum. But in this particular case, First Amendment, Second Amendment, Fourth Amendment, things like that, basic Bill of Rights types of things, it's generally the right which is supposed to make these arguments, and I feel that they have failed in even bringing the arguments to the point where people can discuss and talk about them. And So the question in this podcast is social media an open road for free speech, or is social media a road that is closed and empty only to those that want to play by the rules of the social media giants and other institutions? And if you don't want to play by the rules, then what does that mean? That's the first question. The second question is this feeling that was described in an article in The New Yorker recently. And I've described it as the fact that given the political climate and given the rhetoric of the political climate, it's impossible to have a conversation about an issue. The New Yorker article that I'm thinking about described this as a vacuum that has been created by Trump's harping and Trump's attempts to, I don't know what you'd call it, use cognitive dissonance or break up the mainstream media storylines, or to redirect and therefore gain control of the quote-unquote media battle space. And so you see a lot of activities by political people which are designed to accomplish a purpose which isn't always clear. So why am I talking about this? And I want to carry that line of reasoning from the vacuum to something that I wasn't going to do a podcast about. I wasn't going to talk about it, and I just, because I thought, well, maybe you're not right about that. And now I've decided that I'm going to just introduce it as something for people to think about. So I don't remember a time in my life when the political sphere was as confused as it is now, where the political positions that used to be taken by one side are taken by the other side, or where rhetoric and just saying crazy things is preferable to discussion of issues, where populism is the order of the day in both political sides of the political spectrum, and libertarianism or free marketism or capitalism isn't really front and center at all, that both sides are engaged in a populist debate because populism works. What do I mean by that? I mean arguments to reform, arguments to refer to the government as the swamp, arguments to refer to the government as the deep state, arguments to refer to the government as the elite, arguments to demand that it be reformed and that there isn't any good way to handle it. Really, it's just going to take an autocrat, or it's going to take a person who's a good person, the chosen one, to just take over, and we want the government to do what we want the government to do. See, we're not talking about rights anymore. We're not talking about what is constitutional. We're not talking about what is law. We're talking about what we want. And so the appeals to the quote-unquote little guy, and I'm not quite even sure what the little guy is today. The little guy, the disenfranchised, the guy who doesn't have a job, the guy who fears the deep state, the guy who fears conspiracies and things of that nature. That's the appeal, whether it's on the right or left. So my view is both sides are the same side, and both sides, if you will, the same, different sides of the same coin, both sides proposing populist solutions. A populist solution to unemployment is to guarantee everybody a job. Now, that isn't even a guaranteed minimum income, which would come in lieu of all other welfare programs. That's a guaranteed job or a guaranteed college education. This at a time when the government is already talking about what are we going to do with Social Security. We're going into debt to maintain Social Security benefits, and there's going to have to be reductions in benefits. So, you know, we're already talking about reducing Social Security benefits. I don't know how we're going to be able to provide more things. But see, rather than argue that point, I just want to point out that that's one side of the political spectrum that's an appeal to populism. On the right, the appeal to populism is we're going to get those bastards in China and Europe to give us our jobs back, because what we want is we want an America that's an industrial powerhouse, which is actually, when you consider what America's product is today, which is primarily software and value added, So we use software and education and engineering to create a new General Electric jet engine, which is exported, but parts are imported to make the jet engine, and then the jet engine is exported. Or the jet engine is exported on a Boeing aircraft or something to that effect. So if technology and software is the future for this country, then taking the country back to an industrial footing is not necessarily going to bear fruit. But it doesn't matter, because what we want to do is we want to keep the people in Pennsylvania and Ohio happy. So that's an example. So trade protection is now a Republican idea. After for years being a Democrat labor idea, now it's a Republican idea. And the idea is that disaffected Democrats will come over to the Republican side and vote for a Republican president who is a trade protectionist. That's populism, in my view. It's, we're going to do what we can for the little guy. We're going to fix things for the little guy because, the laborers and so forth have been neglected for far too long. And I don't want to go into all that because I've done podcasts about that. That's just an illustration of, in my view, the problem with the political spectrum. Yeah, and, you know, once again, what are we talking about? We're talking about populism and we're talking about trade protection. I don't think it works economically, but it's a reality politically. And if you're a company that manufactures overseas, I have friends that manufacture stuff overseas, and they're worried because of the potential for tariffs and other things that are going to make their products more expensive in the United States or make their products more expensive to manufacture. And so a lot of these companies are thinking about reshoring just because they have to. If this is you, I'm going to give you the name of a company that does manufacturing. They do medical devices. They do aeronautic devices. They do fine electronic work. They do regular CNC type stuff. Depot Star, American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing, right here in Minnesota. You can visit their website at depotstar.com, DEPOTSTAR, depotstar.com. Give them a call. Ask for Mark Korn. He's the guy. He's great. They are a great company. They got all kinds of things that they do, and they are worth checking out if you're thinking about reshoring. And this podcast is really not supposed to be some deep thinking. This is just kind of I don't want to say this is a throwaway. I want to do a podcast about what happened today because I think it's important. And here's what happened today. It's not earth-shaking. It's not a big thing. But I did a podcast about the Minnesota GOP convention in Duluth just this last weekend. And, you know, I had done like four or five podcasts up to that point, and I'd worked really hard at the end of May. And I thought, well, I'm just going to take a few days off. So I had that podcast, and I decided I was going to boost that podcast on Facebook. What's a boost on Facebook? A boost on Facebook is where you go onto Facebook and you click, if you have a business page or what we used to call a fan page, you can click on boost post, and then you have the option to pay $35 or $25 or $50 or however much you want to spend to boost a post out to people's feeds that aren't yours. And it has a learn more button, and they click on it, and it takes them to the website. Now, for my business, when I boost a post, all I need is the click, because that helps my audience grow, especially when I choose not to advertise to the people in my network and to advertise in other people's networks. And then you can select demographics, and you can select sociographics, and you can select geographics, things of that nature. And I boosted several posts, and I've gotten pretty good at it, and I like doing it. So I went to go boost, and I wasn't going to do the podcast today, and I had this Minnesota GOP thing. So if you've seen the post on Facebook, or if you've seen the post on the website, and I wanted to explain this to people, because sometimes people hear these podcasts and they're not on the website and they don't know. So some people listen to the Bob Davis podcast right off the page with the streaming. Some people listen to it on blogtalkradio.com. Some people listen to it on Google Play. Some people listen to it, you know, from all these different sources, iTunes and so forth. And if they subscribe, the podcast comes to their phone and they just listen to it. They don't see the website. But this particular post, it has a picture that I took, a photojournalism picture of the delegates at the Republican convention. They're all wearing various shirts and they're holding signs, because this is what people do at political conventions. They did it at the DFL convention in Rochester this weekend. They did it at the MNGOP convention this weekend, Minnesota GOP convention in Duluth. Duluth this weekend. They did it at the RNC and the DNC national conventions in 2016, because this is what people do. I've covered several of these conventions. I've covered several of these political events. This is what one of the things that I do when I do politics is I cover these events, because I'm not going to sit there and tell you what to expect or any of that inside baseball stuff. I just go and I record some stuff until I get enough, and then I lay it out into a podcast. And that's what podcast 728 is. And I like that podcast because I think it shows the Republicans as they really are. It also reveals some of my sort of sardonic opinions about the Republican Party, because I don't share the enthusiasm of Republicans for this particular election cycle. That doesn't mean they're going to lose, but I think they've got their work cut out for them. Let's just put it that way. And I don't share the enthusiasm when there's been a number of filings and switches for filings here in Minnesota in the last few days, with Democrats filing for Senate races, Democrats switching. Congressman Keith Ellison is now going to run for state attorney general. The former attorney general or the current attorney general is going to run for governor. The DFL, sort of grassroots took over the party, and they nominated Aaron Murphy, who's kind of a left-wing person from St. Paul's Summit Hill, which is very rich and very left, and on and on and on. So these are the things that happen in Minnesota politics. And I took that picture, and I entitled the podcast MNGOP Grassroots Tries It Again, Duluth 2018 podcast 728. And that was the SEO title. And I put that up there with the picture. And then I did a blog that has outbound links to all kinds of various nonpartisan, Wikipedia, a university, articles from MinnPost and the Star Tribune and, Pioneer Press and everything else about previous, political issues and things leading up to this particular day in Duluth. And this is what the Bob Davis podcast does. So instead of picking a side, I'm decidedly nonpartisan. Well, no good deed goes unpunished, because when I went to go post this boost, I was shocked to see that the Facebook algorithms rejected the ad and said, you can't boost this. Your ad is rejected because this is a political ad. Well, it's not a political ad. In fact, I said in a Facebook, I don't want to jump around too much, but my first reaction to that was, well, you bastards, I'm going to do a video. Facebook loves video. So I did a video about being basically told I couldn't boost my post on Facebook and put it on Facebook. And it's already gotten over 1,000 views. And it's only been up there for about 4 or 5 hours. So I thought that was great. So the word is out. They're not preventing me from speaking, but this is what they said, and this is what people need to understand. They didn't prevent me from posting the podcast on Facebook, and so it's already attracted, 600-700 people, within my network, and that's fine. I don't need to go further. I just thought it would be nice to do that, to boost it. What they did was they said, we can't let you advertise this because this is political ad. So if you want to boost this, you have to go back and change the settings on your page, which allow you to run political advertising, and then your posts will be posted with a warning that says you might find this offensive or something to that effect. Well, that's not, I can be offensive. I don't need to change the settings to be offensive. And I can be offensive in a sneaky sort of way if that's what's required. So I don't want to change the setting on my Facebook page because I don't want to go there. So I'm not going to, so I went back and forth with these people all afternoon saying, I don't want a robot to look at this. I want a human being to look at the website, look at the content, listen to the podcast, and then tell me how this is a political ad. Because A, I don't have political advertising. B, there is no political advertising in the podcast whatsoever. C, the picture, if you don't like the posters or the shirts or something to that effect, don't take a picture of any political convention, because that's not a political ad. That's photojournalism. And what I wanted them to do was look at it, because they would have the same conclusion. But what you get is these algorithms that you've tripped, and the Facebook algorithms trip it, and then they it says we've considered it, and it goes back to the algorithm. It looks again, says see this the same thing. You haven't changed anything, and then it just says, you know, here's a message from Sammy. Well, there is no Sammy. It's obviously artificial intelligence or whatever you want to call it, a robot or software, you know, intuitive software, whatever it is. It's not. Nobody looked at that. Now at Google, they actually look at your page, and I know they do, because I see Google, coming onto my page all the time and looking at stuff. They actually have hired people to look at your posts to make sure that you're relatable, to make sure that you're going to give people a rich user experience when they use Google search. That's really the whole point there. And that's a little bit different. Facebook has got a lot of problems. Facebook's starting to remind me of Microsoft. And I remember when Microsoft in the early 80s and when they first had Microsoft for things like VisiCalc, and you used Microsoft Basic for stuff that you wrote on the Apple II. This is all before any iOS or all before any of the Mac, operating systems software. Microsoft was the king. They had written software for all of the PCs. At first, the IBM, didn't even have an operating system until DOS. That was all Microsoft, and so they were the king. They owned the market. And Facebook is really the only page of its kind, really, even though kids don't go to Facebook anymore, they go to Snapchat, they don't go to Twitter anymore, they have other options that they go to. But Facebook's starting to remind me of Microsoft in that it's not very well done. It's not a very elegant environment. It's not a very effective environment. It's clunky. It is. It can be abusive in my mind, and wrong. I'm not going to submit. So here's, by the way, I want to tell people, and I'm jumping around and I'm sorry, but I want to let people know who listen to this kind of stuff and are sort of part of the podcast consciousness. I can fix the post. I know exactly what to do, is to go take a picture of something benign, change the SEO title to say Grassroots Tries It Again, don't mention the NGOP, use a picture of something benign, and repost it and then reboost it. But I'm not going to pull my punches, which I don't see anything wrong with 728 as it is posted, because it tells a story. And when you see the picture, you go, oh, this is going to be live coverage of the convention. And that's why I posted it. Because it's photojournalism. When you go back and look at any of the articles in the New York Times or Bloomberg or even the Star Tribune for any political coverage of a convention, it always has a picture of a political event, and you see the people holding their signs and everything else. So I'm not going to take that down, because it's photojournalism. It's part of the journalism, the citizen journalism of the podcast, which is I go to this event, I record some stuff, I try to be as objective as possible, identify my biases, let you know what they are, and then give you my take about what I saw. I'm not there at the behest of some other candidate. I'm not there at the behest of some shadowy political group. I didn't sell the podcast to a political person. There is no political advertising in it. And if there were, I'd have to have a disclaimer. And I'd have to say in the podcast, this is sponsored by, Behemoth Consulting, but they don't have anything to do with the content as part of their agreement, And that's what I would do. I find it fascinating that Facebook is so touchy about political content now that they are not allowing me to boost something that's clearly journalistic in nature. It's not, it doesn't, there's no way in my view that it meets the criteria of a political advertisement. Is it political speech? Yes. But the podcast is listed under politics and society. I mean, what did you think I was going to talk about? Did you think I was going to list it under politics and society and talk about, how to build a deck or how to, mow your lawn or how to date girls or something? Like I would know something about that, right? But no. And so this is a problem. And this brings me to this question of the vacuum. It brings me to this question of negotiating politically correct speech. We seem to be at the end of an era. And I can find two eras in the United States history when we seem to be in the same position where everything is fraught, you're stepping on landmines right and left. You can't say anything. You can't do anything. You can't tell people you're not going to bake a wedding cake. You can't tell people to get out of your store if they're not buying something. You can't do this and you can't do that because you might offend some person. And so policing's difficult. And these are, you know, notwithstanding the problems that have occurred because of racism, or notwithstanding the problems that have occurred because people can't behave, what ends up happening is these organizations have to negotiate this stuff with things like algorithms, and we are so touchy about speech, and we are so touchy about opinions in a country that's founded on the principle of free speech. That's what the First Amendment is all about. You know, it's Congress shall make no law, you know, regulating the speech or freedom or assembly, you know, or religion. That's what it says. And yet today you can't, you know, you can't make a statement in favor of Christianity, or it gets people all upset. But, you know, there's a perception that you can make a statement in favor of Islam, and it doesn't get people upset, or they accept it, or they feel like it should be heard. So what happens is certain types of people are driven underground. And that's all fine and well until the witch hunt, literally, and I don't mean to use Trump's terms, I mean to actually talk about witch hunts based on the book, you know, The Madness of Crowds and Popular Delusions, which is a classic economics book that details the 250 to 300 years of persecution of witchery, alleged witchery by people who eventually were accused to the extent that they had to admit what they perceived was their crime. And we see this all over the place. I think there have been two instances in U.S. history, and I'm going to leave you with this warning. There have been two instances of this kind of acrimony and this kind of willingness to suppress any kind of speech in U.S. history. And I think the first, at least in modern times, the first was, and I'm going to use the Civil War as an example, and I'm going to use that in terms of modern times. The first was right before the Civil War, when the whole political structure completely melted down. And, you know, Abraham Lincoln was elected as a third party president. He was elected really by a minority, and the rest is history in terms of what happened. It led to a conflagration, which still is one of the most bloody wars in world history, let alone U.S. history. And the second one is the period between the interwar period between World War I in the United States and the beginning of World War II in 1939, at least in Europe, and then in 1942 in the United States after the attack on Pearl Harbor in December of 1941. And I use those two examples because after World War I, the country kind of did this weird thing where it went to sleep. You know, we had this movement forward. Then we had a progressive movement. The progressive movement after World War I, and I don't really remember the actual timeline for these things, but obviously the first giant populist mistake was, and I think it was a progressive idea, but it was a populist idea because they were going to end America's dependence on alcohol, was prohibition. By far the biggest mistake in the history of U.S. legislation by Congress. The Federal Reserve, arguably the second biggest mistake, at least from the economist's point of view. If you could talk to economists, they'll tell you the Federal Reserve has never done a damn thing right. And then Smoot-Hawley, which was a massive trade protection bill, which was designed to prevent America's competitors from taking American jobs away, basically. And they didn't want foreign countries to compete with us, and so they passed Smoot-Hawley, which directly led to the Depression. And during this period of time, we had a series of presidents right before the Civil War, which were zeros, the last of which was James Buchanan, who was so passive and pusillanimous that he was unable to do anything. And there's plenty of stories in U.S. history. It was either Jackson or Taylor, and may have been both, When confronted with these debates in the Senate regarding slavery and these threats to secede, it was either Jackson or it was Taylor who said, and it may have been both. I read it in a Taylor book, but it could have been Jackson, who called the senators over to the White House at night. It was 11 p.m., and they were all talking about secession for whatever the reason, and met them at the door with his sword, you know, and said, here's how this is going to go. You are not going to secede, and if you do, you are the first two that I will kill, and I will kill you myself, basically. I will kill you. I will arrest you, and you will be the first to be executed for treason. And that was the end of that argument. So they were strong men, and they were willing to take risks to maintain the Union, right? Buchanan couldn't do any of that. And there were a series of other things that we got into, the Mexican-American War and some other issues that were not good for the country overall. And then, of course, we had the Civil War. After the World War One, you know, we had a series of presidents who were pretty much laissez-faire, you know, we don't touch anything. And at the same time, we had this leftover prohibition from progressives. And then they started passing trade protection laws and everything else. And eventually the markets toppled and we had the Depression. Arguably, the Depression in the United States led to World War II, because the Depression in the United States spread to Europe. It led to the conditions. Germany was really actually beginning to recover prior to the Depression. And of course, the Depression in Germany first led to deflation and then to runaway inflation. It was a complete meltdown of the Deutschmark, and a disaster for the country, and led to the conditions that that led to Hitler, and thus to expansionism, fascism, and also strengthened, you know, to a certain degree, Stalin's hand in Russia. So government, you know, dead stick, low throttle, near stall politics leads to catastrophic results. Certain kinds of populist or progressive or even too laissez-faire policy can lead to catastrophic results that have lasting consequences. I asked my son at one point, who studied history, and I've asked other people that have studied history about this stuff, and I've said, what do you think the most significant? We were talking one night, and he said, you know, I don't think that people talk about these things that happen on a day-to-day basis as though they're the most serious things that have ever happened and that they loom large in history. But he said, when you actually look at, this is my son talking, when you actually look at history, the most significant thing to happen in the last, at least the last 100 years, and perhaps even in the 19th and 20th century, was World War II, because it changed the entire structure of the world. And of course, it ended with the use of the atomic bomb. So many technology things came into play in World War II. And by the way, I'm doing this on the anniversary of the Day of Days, June 6th, 1944, when we invaded European peninsula there in France, D-Day. So many technology things related to technology and industry came into play in that war, and nothing was the same after. And I've talked about this before. Nothing was the same after. It feels, and we have no way of knowing this, but given the rhetoric, given the nonsense that the White House engages in, given the nonsense that Congress engages in, given the nonsense that I heard from both political parties this weekend in terms of speeches, which are basically devoid of policy ideas, which are contentious, which are encouraging this contentious atmosphere, which are encouraging control of speech and thought and ideas. These things do not end well for this country. They end in civil war, or they end in a war to end all wars. And I will leave you with this thought, because if World War III will destroy the United States, it will destroy much of the accepted Western world, and we will never recover from it in my lifetime, in my son's lifetime, in his son's lifetime, and probably in his son's lifetime. The result, we will never recover from a war, because it will have huge consequences, both in terms of, you know, physical, you know, attacks on the United States, cyber attacks on the United States and other countries, and it will completely change the power structure and the survival structure of the world. We will not recover from it. And we will not win it because no one will win it. We were lucky in World War II that it ended when it did. So we need to remember that it is time in this country for people to, and I'm not going to say wake up, but it is time in this country for people to understand we can't continue this way. This aggression shall not stand. We can't keep this up where we're censoring people from promoting things. We're telling people they have to, they can't put that up there. They can't. I mean, ultimately, the good news is Facebook is turning into Microsoft and they're going to be surpassed by somebody else. Here's my prediction. Within 5 years, someone is going to come up with a new form of social media that is going to be completely open. People will say crazy things and they're going to let it happen. And Facebook is going to get crushed. It will be surpassed by something else because they're a clunky, crummy company that looks good on the surface, but when you actually look into what they do, it's not that good, and it's not that good of an experience. The truth is, the only reason that I promote on Facebook is because for people that are interested in terms of analytics, Facebook does not provide the maximum. They are not the leader in referrals to my page. When you look at referrals only, social media, Twitter and Facebook and Instagram provide a lot of referrals to my page. But most of the people that listen to these podcasts find the BobDavisPodcast.com through organic search or through directly coming in over the hashtag or the /, and getting the podcast because they have using various services like Podbean or whatever that subscribe to the Bob Davis Podcast right off the page. So, and I host my own podcast at my own page because given the situation, I could always put this page behind a VPN as well. And then I wouldn't have to worry about, I certainly wouldn't be able to use necessarily social media advertising, but you can't take it away from me. Or I could get some servers and start actually serving it up on my own server in order to, control my own stuff. Because you can't, if you're a podcaster and you have your stuff on Lisbon only, or you're allowing iTunes to be the arbiter of who hears your podcast, they can just as easily take it down for exactly the same reasons that they won't let me boost a post on Facebook. And, you know, I don't care because I don't need to boost that post, but it's a lesson learned that if it's one thing where they don't like my logo because it has too much text, so I don't boost with the logo picture. But if it's something that has a reason on the internet that they don't want to boost it, that's one thing. But when it's clearly a mistake, and it's because of a sensitivity to how people receive political speech, because God forbid a person who's on the right should ever see anything from somebody on the left, and God forbid someone on the left should ever see anything from somebody that's perceived to be on the right, and God forbid both sides should see any kind of an objective view of what's going on in the world, that would just be, we can't have that. Nobody can agree on a source, nobody can agree on an idea. Somebody told me today that volcanoes are due to global warming, you know? And I was like, I don't understand how that's possible. How would global warming affect geology? Maybe I'm crazy. I don't know. But that's like the world is flat people who are absolutely convinced the world is flat. And it's silly. And then on top of all of it, and I guess I'll close with this, on top of all of it, people who become citizen commentators for whatever reason and are not trained communicators, a lot of them start podcasting or doing a YouTube video and they sell themselves to political people. So they started out in politics and they became a writer and they are a commentator and a writer and something else. And they start doing a podcast. And in order to go forward, they affiliate with a certain point of view. And then they become more popular and more popular because only the people that adhere to that point of view want to see that thing. I just want to say this. That's not journalism. It's not citizen journalism. It's not journalism. It's partisan media in support of a partisan goal. That is not what I do. You know, even when I was partisan, I was giving my opinion. I wasn't selling myself to some devil, whatever variety of devil you would choose. It doesn't make any difference whether it's right or left, up or down, libertarian or anything else. You know, my podcasts are a reflection of my life and my views in life, and they have changed. And they will change again, I am sure, at some point, because I don't care about right or left. That's not the point. The joy is in actually doing the podcast. And I've gone on too long, but I think we're in a situation that's very dangerous in this country. And that's really all I wanted to say. It's kind of a disjointed podcast because I'm still a little bit upset about this whole thing. It's not the end of the world, and I don't hate Facebook. I'm just concerned that all of this restriction is leading. We should not be restricting free. We should not be restricting speech or worship or assembly. And even if the assembly is in the cyber world, you're still doing things voluntarily that affect the right of assembly and the right of free thinking and the right to share ideas. And that is what has made our country strong. And because we're afraid of offending someone, we're now in the process of starting to tell people they can and cannot do things because we don't like what they want to say. It's not going to work, and it's going to lead to bad things. This is supposed to be a free country. It's supposed to be a country where you can say and think whatever you want. And I'm worried these things cause you to adjust your thinking so that you don't have to. What do? You know, you develop ideas about boosting posts, let's say, or posting things on social media because you don't want to offend people, you filter, and that's thought control. So that's kind of what we talked about in this podcast. Thanks again to Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. So if you need to get your systems checked, like I said, my water heater is down. Something went wrong with the electronic, pilot light over the cold winter. And, you know, of course, when it gets warm, boom. So no hot water. I got to get that taken care of. Call Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They do business, and they do residential, and they do it right. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business, Ryan Plumbing and Heating, online at ryanplumbing.com. Okay, thanks for listening to Podcast 729, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Thanks for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com, Google Play. Thanks for checking me out on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, my favorite. I do not post political stuff on Instagram. It's just fun stuff, travel and weird pictures, and I love Instagram. Do appreciate the likes and the shares and the favoriting on social media and, of course, donations. Thanks to Parts by Nate. Nate, you're awesome. Sent me $20. Went right in the tank on the way back from Duluth. So I really appreciated it. Thanks again for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 729, Censorship and Free Speech and the Future. I have to whisper because someone, my iPhone might be listening. And if it's got a Facebook app on it, you never know what it will do to me.